worship you. We glorify you. We love you, Lord Jesus. And we are lovers of your presence. Forever and always, we will love you, praise you, and bless you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, I feel impressed to just do something a little bit different tonight. I got it in my heart about 20 minutes ago or so. And it's kind of tying in line with what I thought we might be sharing about. But if you pick up a CD, it'll probably have a completely different title than what we actually talk about tonight. Let's stay in an atmosphere of worship. If you guys can keep the lights like they are now. But you guys can be seated. You guys stay on stage, but you may need to take your shoes off or something, because we may be just a minute here. Let's look at some scriptures on the screens, if you can pull these up real quick. We're going to go to Luke, then Acts, then Ephesians. And after Luke, I want you to pull up that picture I sent you guys today. Let's look at Luke 4 real quick on the screens. Luke 4. Verse 1, I was at the beginning of this week not stressed, I wouldn't say that word, but my mind was definitely moving in a lot of different directions. There were a lot of different messages I've been writing, a lot of different subjects I've been studying, and I definitely was pressing to try to find something to say. My job is probably a lot like you guys' job in the sense of there are deadlines. You know, like Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, it's kind of a deadline. It's not good enough to come up here and say, you know what, I have absolutely nothing to say to you. I mean, it's kind of, you know, it's beneficial to the job to actually have something to say. And so with that, I was definitely pressing, and I was just reading scripture for fun. And I began reading Luke chapter 4. And there were just some things that began to minister to me on a personal level. And I thought perhaps we may get in them tonight, but when I was writing my message today, for tonight, I didn't write this scripture even in my text. But let's look at it tonight. I think it'll tie into some things that the Lord wants to share with us. In Luke 4 and verse 1, it said, "And Jesus," notice this, "being full of the Holy Ghost." Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. Jesus did not do one miracle on this earth or even begin his ministry until he was full of the Holy Ghost. Now notice, not only was he full of the Holy Ghost, but being full of the Holy Ghost enabled him to be something else. Watch what being full of the Holy Ghost enabled him to be. "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit." Who's the Spirit? It's the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, "into the wilderness." So do you see the connection here? First he's full, then he's led. Everyone say that with me. Say, first Jesus was full, then he was led. First full, then led. You don't have to say that, but if you want to, you can. First full, then led. First full, then led. First full, then led. Being led by the Spirit has everything with you and me being filled with the Spirit. But notice, this was not the completion of the Spirit's work. Not only was Jesus full of the Spirit, not only was he led by the Spirit, but if you read a couple of verses down, you can pull up verse number 14. We see that after this, Luke 4, verse 14, it said, "And Jesus returned," now notice this, "in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region." Now notice this, the progression. First full, then led, then power. First full, then led, then power. Jesus operated in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's wonderful and well and good for Jesus. But he was not doing this to just be kind of an exclusive one of one of someone who is just led by the Spirit and we put him on a pedestal. He was doing this as an example for me and you to first be filled, then to be led, and then to walk in the power of the Spirit. He told his disciples to do the exact same thing he did, to not do anything until they were filled with the Spirit. And once they were filled with the Spirit, you see all throughout the book of Acts, they were led by the Spirit. And then you also see the power of the Spirit in operation in their life. And I think so often when we think of the power of the Holy Spirit, we think of a ministerial power in the sense of if someone has power with the Holy Spirit, then they have power to teach and preach, or perhaps power to heal or prophesy or whatever it may be. But there's power, well, I'll say it this way. What the power of the Holy Spirit is there for, it's to help you run your race. See, my race requires me to teach and preach. So when his power is in operation in my life, he's helping me. He's enabling me. He's, to use a Mark word from the book of Mark, he's working with me, helping me teach and preach. But you see, in the life of Joseph, the Lord worked with him under the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, that just whatever he put his hand to began to prosper, began to see increase. And it wasn't just Joseph being a diligent manager. No, even Potiphar, his boss, could see it's the Lord working with him. It was the power of God in his life. And friend, I'm telling you, in your life, you can have the power of the Holy Spirit. And we were talking about this today during staff prayer, and I said, you know, the power of the Holy Spirit, it's so much better felt than telt. It's kind of hard to tell it, but you can feel it. You know when it's there and you know when it's not. There's a power, there's a grace there for life. God did not design this to be some burdensome journey for you or I. No, he designed it for us to be empowered, quickened by the Holy Spirit to run the race that is set before us. But what's the key to the power? It goes back to the very first thing. I have to be filled with the Spirit. I have to be full of the Holy Ghost. You know, years ago, there was a man I just so enjoyed his ministry. He's since gone home to be with the Lord. But he was praying one day, and as he was praying, he saw a vision. I've shared this before, but it bears repeating because it goes in line with what we're talking about. He saw a vision, and in the vision, he saw all these people in a boat. And it was one of those, you know, kind of big sailboats, and it had a sail up, but there was no wind blowing. So they were using the oars. Have you ever seen one of those old movies or something like that? And they had the oars like on a Viking boat, you know, kind of elongated like that. And they got these oars out, and they're rowing. The problem is there was no water in the stream. There was no water in the river. And so they're rowing, and all they're hitting when they row is dirt underneath them. And so with this, they're rowing. And of course, you could imagine to make any type of progress at all in that type of situation. I mean, it's burdensome. It's tiring. There's all this sweat, and they're just rowing. And the whole time they're rowing, it's kicking up all this dust. And they think it's the glory of God, but all it is the result of their own labors. They've made no progress at all. And he said he saw that, and then he said it was like a cherry picker came and picked him up on the back of his shirt and picked him up to a whole nother riverbed. And this riverbed was just filled with water, just looping down this riverbed, this beautiful stream. And he saw at the top of the riverbed out in the distance a boat coming. And this boat had oars just like the first one, but all the oars were kind of tucked into the boat. And all the people in this boat, instead of having their hands on the oars kicking up dust, had their hands in the air praising God because the river was doing the work. And friend, I'm telling you, in your life, that's what being filled with the Holy Spirit should be adding to you. It's not a feeling. It's not a goosebump. It's a power. that's undergirding every aspect of your life. It was funny, I was studying this, like I said, Luke 4 just stood out to me, and the whole time I was studying, I just had in my heart a Spanish explorer from years ago. I heard about him on the news, and they were giving him credit for this weeks ago, but it was just Ponce de Leon kept coming up in my heart, and I'm like, what in the world does this have to do with anything in Luke 4? What in the world does this have to do with anything? And so with that, he was a Spanish explorer, and he was looking for gold, all of these other things, but that's not what he's known for. What he's known for is he discovered a Gulf Stream in the ocean. He discovered this Gulf Stream, and he found that in the ocean there were actually currents, they call them streams, in the ocean that kind of run, and if you can get in the current, there's such a speed there just naturally built into the current that it actually takes you from point A to point B so much faster than you just trying to do it in your own strength. And so they discovered this, he discovered this, and began using it. If you can put up that picture for me. And he discovered this, but no one used it until about the 1700s. And in the 1700s, there was a lot of trade going on between England and the United States. And one of the people who was over the shipping companies gave a question to Benjamin Franklin. You can find all this out if you Google Gulfstream and go to Wikipedia. You can find all this out. So with this, Benjamin Franklin got posed this question, is why in the world does it take ships from going from America to England, why do they get there 2 weeks faster than ships coming from England over to America? It's a good question. And so he began to study it and research his work even further and found out it's because of the Gulf Stream. Everyone say the Gulf Stream. It was because of the Gulf Stream. And so he found if you could get in this Gulf Stream, you can see it runs up the coast of Florida, goes up kind of the eastern seaboard, and then goes right over to Europe and then swoops down alongside Africa, then comes all the way back around. If you can get in the Gulf Stream, it picks up speed in everything else you're trying to do. And if you looked at a map, and you see it here, and say you were in the Florida and you wanted to go over to Africa, it would seem like the fastest way would just be cut across. And in your own mind, you think, well, I'll just cut across. But in all actuality, if you got in the Gulf Stream, you could get there a lot faster. Now, out of the whole ocean, the Gulf Stream is not very big. You can see it right there on the map. Out of the whole ocean right there, the Gulf Stream is actually a little sliver. But if you can operate in the sliver, you're operating with the power that other boats out there aren't operating with. And friend, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is our Gulf Stream. He's our Gulf Stream. And when you operate out of a relationship with Him, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you get over there and you can do things so much faster, with so much greater ease, where other people are thinking, why is it taking me longer to do the same thing? Well, you got to get in the stream, brother. Yeah, if you get over in the stream, there's an ease there that's not found anywhere else. But where does it come back to? It comes back to being filled with the Spirit. So how do you stay full with the Spirit? How do you operate out of the Spirit? Well, we know from Scripture, from what I can see, there's two ways. Everyone say two ways. To maintaining a Spirit-filled life. Some of you are Spirit-filled, but you're not maintaining a Spirit-filled life. You got to operate from that place out of the Spirit. Brenda Browning, I don't know. Brenda, is she in here? Brenda anywhere in here? There she is back there. Brenda is one of my favorite people. I tell you what, Brenda is just an amazing, amazing lady. And she sent Jay Horn. I don't know if he's on stage. No, he's back in the booth. Yeah, he's back in the booth. Jay is over our media and praise and worship and all those things. She was talking to him, and then he liked it so much, he texted me what she said. And she said it's better to operate from God than just for God. And I had a little Selah moment. You ever read that in Psalms? Just Selah. It means pause and think about this for a while. So I had a little Selah moment. And I was thinking, it's better to operate from God than for God. Better to operate from God than for God. And I got to thinking about that. You know, it's true. All of us can do things for God, and it's good to do that. But you know what's better than even doing that? Operating from Him. Where He is the strength of your giving. He is the strength of your praise. He is the strength of your prayer. That you're not just praying for Him, you're praying from Him. That you're not just worshiping for Him, you're worshiping from Him. That there's an anointing behind it, a strength behind it. That you're living from Him. And that's what Jesus was saying over in John 15. It's your job to just stay connected to me. That apart from me, you can do nothing. But if you will stay in me like a branch will stay in a vine, you will produce much fruit. So how do we maintain this Spirit-filled life? Well, we see two ways from what I can see from Scripture. Let's look at the first one. Go over to Acts on the screens. Book of Acts. Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. We know this one. Acts 2 and verse 4. It'll take them a while to maybe switch that out. We could quote it, but I'd like for you to see it. Acts 2 and verse 4. It said, and they were all what? Filled with the Holy Ghost. Now remember, that's the same thing Jesus was over in Luke 4. Isn't that right? He was filled with the Spirit. After he was filled with the Spirit, he was led by the Spirit. After he was led by the Spirit, he operated from the power of the Spirit. Now notice what happened when they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So out of this infilling came forth praying in the Spirit, what we would call praying in the Spirit. And friends, I'm telling you, in my own life, the Lord has been dealing with me to do this more. To do this more. To get over into a place where I'm praying from the Spirit. For those of you who may be unfamiliar with this, come down, we'll give you some literature on it at the end of service. But Paul said over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he said, I will pray with my understanding, but I will also pray without my understanding. He said, I will pray, I will sing with my understanding, but I also will sing without my understanding. He said, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. What that tells me is everyone in the church spoke with tongues. But Paul said, I know you're a tongue-talking bunch, but friends, I'm telling you, you could take the whole lot of you, slap you all together, have you all speaking in tongues, and I'm telling you, I'd do it more than all of you. That's the emphasis Paul put it on in his life. Brother Hagin said, praying in the Spirit is the doorway to the supernatural. It's the doorway to the supernatural. Well, what do I mean by that? I'm not talking about visions and dreams and all that in the sense of how people would think like that. No, the supernatural, Brother Hagin said, many people are looking for the spectacular and all the while missing the supernatural. The supernatural is hearing from God. That's supernatural. Having that witness in your heart, that's supernatural. And so with that praying in the Spirit, it opens up the door to all those things. So I want to encourage you to do that. If you'd like to be filled with the Holy Spirit at the end of service, we'll pray with you and believe God that He fills you up. But for those of you who are, maintain a Spirit-filled life by praying in the Spirit. Amen. Make that a point of emphasis in your life. I tell you what, apart from the Lord Jesus, and I'll throw my wife in there, praying in the Spirit is the most beautiful, wonderful thing in my life. I'm telling you what, just there's a strength that comes from that. My mind, it runs fast. I process things. It runs fast. And I tell you what, the only thing that will calm it a lot of times for me is getting still and praying in the Spirit. And after about 15 minutes, my heart gets so full and it gets so big and God gets so real and His direction is so clear. Because what happens after you're filled with the Spirit? You start being led by the Spirit. And His voice cuts asunder what's my own thoughts and what are His thoughts for my life. Take the time to pray in the Spirit. But that's not the only way it tells us how we can be filled with the Spirit. There's another way. Let's go over to Ephesians on the screens. Ephesians 5 and verse 17. Ephesians 5 and verse 17. Notice this. It says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Notice that. It's God's best for you and me to understand what the Lord's will is. Do you know what the Lord's will is for you? For your life? In that business decision? What's the Lord's will? In your home right now, how do you clean up that financial situation? The Lord's got some thoughts concerning that. You can know what those thoughts are. It says, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Do you know the will of the Lord for your children? You can. Do you know the will of the Lord for your marriage? You can. The Bible says, don't be unwise, but be wise, understanding what the will of the Lord is. Well, the question I get all the time is how? How in the world can I understand what the will of the Lord is? Well, watch what he says after this. Verse 18. Ephesians 5, verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Now notice, he likens being filled with the Spirit with being drunk on wine. Now with this, you know as well as I do that to be drunk, it's not just one sip of wine that's going to get you there. Right? It's going to take some time to drink a little bit. But the more you drink, you're going to get drunk, right? And with this, he likens being filled with the Spirit to this, that all of us, we've been filled with the Holy Spirit. But to have that in motion in our life, we got to keep drinking. We got to keep digging out of that well of salvation. We got to let those rivers flow like Jesus talked about in John. So with this, he tells us, don't be unwise, but be wise, understanding what the will of the Lord is. Well, how am I going to do that, Pastor? You got to be filled with the Spirit. Well, how do I become filled with the Spirit? He goes on to tell us, verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Notice that. How do I stay filled with the Spirit? Operating from that place where that river is flowing, where I'm not in a dry riverbed, but I'm in a place where the river is flowing, taking me to God's best. How do I get there? How do I get there? How do I get to the place where God's voice is real to me? I've got to be filled with the Spirit. Well, how do I get there? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Years ago, when I was just starting in ministry, I was walking around with an older senior pastor, and he was showing me his facility. And through that, I met a lot of different staff, and I noticed a lot of them were singing. And they shouldn't be recording, but they were singing. You know, we joke about that. Everyone can sing. Not everyone should record, but everyone. Everyone can sing. And I noticed they were all singing. Just had a song in their heart. And I told him that. I said, man, everywhere I go around here, it just seems like everybody's singing. Just a little hymn to themselves, quietly. And he said, well, you know, that is one of the characteristics of a Spirit-filled life, is having a song in your heart. That is one of the characteristics of having a Spirit-filled life. It's just having a song in your heart. I've noticed whenever I've gotten to that place where, man, I'm just really, really sensitive to God, spent those times in prayer, singing, making melody, I get a song in my heart. Today, we had staff prayer, and I taught for a little while, and then we just worshiped, just prayed and sang and all of those kinds of things, and I sang a little bit, had fun doing that. And so with that, we just had a good time in Jesus, a good time in the Lord. And I've noticed all day I've had a song in my heart. All day I've had a song. It's one of the older songs from the 1990s. You know, how people that it's almost 2015. Can you believe that? 25 years ago. It's amazing. But with this, it simply goes, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He will work for those who praise him. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, for the Lord, he inhabits praise. Praise the Lord, for the chains that used to bind you will fall utterly behind you when you praise the Lord. I've had that on my heart the whole day, just bubbling up on the inside. Well, what is that? It's a characteristic of a Spirit-filled life, having a song in your heart. And you operate in a grace that you can't get any other way. And this is why praise and worship is so important. It's not just singing cute songs. They're trying to get you to sing, not to get you to listen to them sing. Because when you sing unto the Lord, where it's not just a song you're repeating, but it's a song coming from your heart, when you sing unto the Lord, it fills you up with the Spirit. And His voice gets so real to you. Jesus was filled with the Spirit. Then, everyone say then. Then He was led by the Spirit. The point of all this is to do nothing else but to open up your heart to hear from God. In the Old Testament, I know I'm about to stop. We'll sing a little bit. We'll end the service with some singing. In the Old Testament, the prophet Elijah was standing before kings, and they said, "We need you to prophesy. Prophesy. Tell us what the Lord is saying." In prophecy, you can't just turn on with a switch. You can't just turn it on. You know, I hear people talk, "Come to the service tonight and we're going to prophesy." You can't do that. It's as the Spirit of the Lord wills, not as you will. You can't just turn a switch on and prophesy. I don't care who you are. You can't just, it's as the Spirit of the Lord wills. But with this, Elijah knew this. I can't just turn on a switch and prophesy. So he told him, you know what he told him? I said, "You know what he told him?" "Yeah, I like that. I like that. Show me you're interested." But with this, he told him this. He said, "Bring me a minstrel. Bring me a minstrel. Have someone come and just worship the Lord." And as they were worshiping, the hand of the Lord came upon them. And He gave them clear-cut direction on how to handle the situation they were in. That's what this is talking about. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Well, how? Be filled with the Spirit. Well, how do I do that? Sing a little bit. Make a melody in your heart unto the Lord. You sing unto the Lord. Don't just sing what they sing. You sing unto the Lord. And as you do, it fills you up. I don't know about you, but I could drink a little bit more tonight. Amen. I've been drinking all day. I've been drinking all day, but I could drink a little bit more tonight. Amen. So let's just worship the Lord a little bit. And as we do, just look to your heart and sing from that place, but also be sensitive to the Lord and see if He speaks to your heart and leads you in anything. Amen. Amen. You guys can take it away. We'll end the service with this. Save it for Sunday, but we'll end with this. I may get back into it this weekend. But David brought the Ark of the Covenant back into Israel. And when he did, he came to his own house and he told his wife, we'll probably get into this weekend because it's a little bit too much to dive into today. I'd like for your eyes to see it. But the Bible says he came back with that presence, with the presence of God to bless his household. That he knew that his own worship would bring a blessing to his household. He was mindful of it, and he did it on purpose. He purposefully brought the presence of God into his household. And you look at the opposite of that with a man by the name of Samson. He was forbidden to eat from anything dead or anything dead. He was forbidden to do that, to touch even anything dead. And he saw the carcass of a dead lion. And in that carcass, there was a swarm of bees there that had built, you know, their little deal. And out of it, honey was there. There was something sweet in the mouth of something dead. And he took of that honey. And he took of it. He ate of that dead thing. He partook of that dead thing. But you know what? He didn't stop there. The Bible says that he took that honey and took it back to his household. But he didn't tell them where it came from. He gave them something sweet that had death tied to it. He did that carelessly. Whereas David brought the presence of the Lord purposefully to his household. And friend, I'm telling you, you're either doing one or the other. You're either going to on purpose. You'll never do it by accident. You're either on purpose going to bring the presence of the Lord to your household. But if you don't do that carelessly, you will bring something dead into your household. and both will have an effect on your family. Friends, I'm telling you, this worship, praising, magnifying, singing, making melody into your heart and to the Lord, it's not just something cute. It is something that is essential for us as believers to do. And I'm telling you what, it'll make all the difference in the world in your house. Don't get careless and bring all the dead music and the deadness of the world and a spirit that's laced within all that mess. Don't bring that into your house. Don't carry that in with you and give it to your family and not tell them where it came from. Amen. Bring grace into your house. Bring the presence of God into your house. Amen. The life and the nature of God. Give that to your children. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. We will do that, Lord. We will be bringers of your presence to our families, to our homes. We commit to doing it. We love you, Lord, so much. We thank you for the honor to worship you, to praise you and magnify you. We love you, Lord Jesus. Let's all pray this as we leave. Just repeat it after me. Say, Father, I want your will to be done in my life. Fill me with your Spirit. Enable me to be led by your Spirit. And let me operate in the power of your Spirit. Father, I will bring your presence to my household. I'll do it on purpose. I make up my mind and make a firm decision to bring your presence to my household. And I will not carelessly bring death just because it's sweet to my household. No, I purposefully bring your presence. Bring a song about you, a worship of you, readings of you into my household. And I thank you, Lord, your power in my life and in my family increases dramatically from this point forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Well, if you'd like prayer for anything tonight at the after the end of service at the altar, we're going to have prayer.